listening to the Transform Your Nutrition Podcast with your hosts, Rebecca Heald and Jeff Ash. Our purpose is to help individuals and families transform their relationships with food and develop healthy bodies, minds, and attitudes, all without restriction, guilt, or shame.
Yeah, so hi, Jeff. Hope
Hello.
You enjoyed your little breakaway.
Yes, definitely. It was much needed and very much enjoyed.
I bet I could do with a break, but we're in lockdown again back here in the UK for another month. So let's see how that goes.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Which was announced on Halloween last week. And it was Halloween actually that got me thinking about what we could talk about today. And I think, you know, I wanted to talk about the language that we use when it comes to food around our children. And I think this was really important last week around Halloween time, because obviously there were lots of sweets, lots of treats around.
Right.
And I think it's so easy in general to let diet culture creep into the way that we parent. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
And I just think that the way that we talk about food around our children has such an impact. And whilst we know that sweets are not what we want our children to be eating all day, every day, you know, it's not the most nutritious food. We also need to make sure that we're careful about how we talk about it around food, because nutrition isn't black and white, is it?
Right, right. Yeah, like we don't... It's really easy for us to refer to these things as junk food.
Yes.
Healthy food, good for you, bad for you, those kinds of labels that we tend to attach to food. And it's well-meaning, you know, we're trying to get our kids to eat the food that's going to be the most nutritious for them, the healthiest for them. And so we sometimes attach these labels in an effort to do that. But I think it can backfire.
Yeah, and I think it's also about remembering that it's about, I guess, that children learn through modeling and experience more than anything, more than what we tell them. So I think that's why we need to be really, really careful about what it is, how it is we talk about these foods around children.
Right.
And we do need to use words, of course, but I think being too explicit about things, talking, like you said, in terms of junk food and healthy food. I mean, I know we spoke on a previous podcast about how I like to talk to my children about foods, you know, giving them more or less nutrients. But I think one thing that I work with clients on as well, and it's not something I've really explored in too much detail with my children because I don't get too explicit about things, but it's how you can talk about these foods rather than thinking of food as junk food. Think of it as play food. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think when you think the term junk, you automatically think of something to be discarded, something that's, you know, got no place, something that is, you know, I suppose just really negative. So mm-hmm. automatically you're telling yourself that when you eat something that is junk, it's bad. It's something that again is just irrelevant and has no place, but it does have a place in our life. It has mm-hmm. a place in a healthy relationship in somebody, you know, it has a place in the life of someone who has a healthy relationship with food.
Right.
And so I think thinking of it in terms of play food and food to be enjoyed and experienced is really important. And I guess whilst I don't talk about it in terms of play food with my children, I kind of try to give that message, you know, that these foods are to be enjoyed and to be incorporated, just like playtime is,
right?
You know, in a child's day at school, mm-hmm. they work hard, they concentrate for so long, and then they have their playtime. Well, it's the same with food. We work hard to build healthy habits. We work hard to make sure that we're eating things that make us feel good. And then we also have downtime when we enjoy some play food.
Right.
And I think we need to, when we're having this, we need to be talking about, like at Halloween, we needed to, I was quite mindful that I was talking to my children about how great it was that they had all of these sweets around, rather than saying, you can't have this, you can't have that. And how, you know, how good, like I was talking about my favorite foods, like my kids, as you know, they know that I love chocolate. And I don't go, oh my God, you know, it's terrible that mum's likes chocolate. I'm like, I like chocolate because I love the taste. I like chocolate because it just makes me feel good sometimes.
Right.
And I think it's because, so I'm going off on one a little bit here, but I think if we kind of give this idea that these foods are bad and unhealthy for us, then imagine the message that that's going to give to our children. It can create anxiety, even confusion, because it's like, well, mummy's saying this food is bad, yet she's letting me have it. So, you know, it can, like I said, it can lead to confusion as well as anxiety.
Yeah, and I think we can compare that to, you know, I was kind of thinking about this as we were preparing for doing this particular episode, and I got thinking, you know, there's so many things in life that are that we speak of as bad, as something to that's always bad, that's to be avoided, that's morally wrong. For example, lying. Is it okay to tell our kids, well, just don't lie very often? You know, lying's bad, but just don't lie very often. Or or cheating. Yeah, cheating's bad, but it's okay to cheat sometimes. And so, but we do that with food. So we say, this is junk, this is garbage, but it's okay to eat it sometimes. And so I think there's that disconnect that can come into play there. And it can become a problem because, you know, it like you were saying, there's a time for play and there's a time for work and concentration and those kinds of things. And at the same can be, we can approach food in that same way.
Yeah.
Much like you can't watch TV, you shouldn't be watching TV all the time, but there's nothing wrong with watching TV. It's something that we can enjoy. Same with food. We shouldn't be eating candy and sweets all the time, but we can certainly enjoy it some of the time.
Yeah, and it has a place in our life.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you know, and just as children learn, or we all learn from having playtime and downtime, you know, we learn about ourselves. And that's all, you know, eating the foods, you know, the more, I guess, you know, the more nutrient-dense foods, the ones that, you know, give us the, I'm getting myself confused now, but when you... calorie, not nutrient dense food, calorie dense food. So when we're enjoying the more calorie dense palatable foods, you know, we're also learning about ourselves. We're learning about what it is that, you know, that we enjoy and how our emotions feel and what the experience is like. Every eating opportunity is an opportunity to learn and understand more about yourself. And I think, you know, that's why play food has a place. Does that make sense? As well as providing that downtime. And I think the other thing as well, and I love that analogy you just said then there, you know, about how you're saying about you know, lying, et cetera, and how we don't say it's okay sometimes and not other times. But also as well, you know, if we're talking about sweets as bad, you know, we're also kind of creating this idea of it being shameful.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
Something that, and this can, you know, it can really lead to like Luca was saying earlier, I know he was joking, you know, but if a child feels shame for eating certain foods, then, you know, maybe they're going to grow up wanting to do it in secret. And
exactly,
you know, what, you know, we know where that can lead.
Yeah. So, well, we both have worked with clients who are trying to get their nutrition in check. And we know that they are lying to us about what they're eating, because they may point out, hey, this is what I ate today. But for some reason they're gaining weight and we're thinking, well, there's something missing here. And then eventually we find out, okay, they're straight up lying to us. They're giving us money to help them accomplish this goal, but they're lying and hiding the fact that they're eating a candy bar. And it's because they feel like, well, I can't let my nutritionist know that I'm eating candy, because that's bad. That's a shameful thing. And so I'm just not going to tell them. I'm going to only tell them the good stuff. And it's like, no, there's nothing wrong with eating that. And in fact, I send all my clients a message on their birthday to go out and enjoy something really nice. You know, go out and enjoy your birthday meal and eat some dessert and
that's how my clients
enjoy
do that
time. Right. But I make a point of it on their birthday to tell them, and they always say, thanks for the reminder. And but I think that's just, and, you know, coming back to kind of when you were talking about modeling, the importance of modeling our eating rather than just educating, like saying, okay, this, you know, eat protein, eat this, eat that, there's a place for that. But I think the modeling of it is great. And I think that the fact that you're so open, and I've heard you talk about this in front of your kids, you're very open about the fact that you love chocolate and you're going to eat some chocolate probably most days. And you're not doing it in secret. You're not hiding your candy bar in your bedroom and eating it in secret so that the kids don't see you. You're just enjoying it. And they're able to see that, oh, hey, mom can enjoy chocolate and she does it in moderation and she eats these other foods. And yeah. And there's nothing wrong with doing that. And she allows us to eat that. And she doesn't call it junk or garbage or naughty food or anything like that. And so I think that's kind of a good thing to point out too, is that not only the language that we use, but the behavior that we use. So having our kids see us enjoying these things and is important.
And I think that's my point. When I, when I talk about the language, I'm talking more about, you don't need to worry too much about, you know, always talking positively. It's about modeling positively.
Right.
But when I'm talking about language, I'm talking about, because people will learn, you will use negative language. You know, when it comes to food, they will talk about it being, they will say like, okay, if you're going to eat that, you need to eat something healthy straight away. So already there's that fear of that feeling of shame, or, you know, you shouldn't be eating that, or, you know, things like that. If that makes sense, it's, if you're telling people to be careful, if you're telling your children to be careful about how much bad food that they eat, or you're telling them that it's bad to eat all of those sweets on Halloween, etc. That's the language we should be avoiding, if that makes sense.
Right.
And then it's about that, like you said, it's about the positive modeling more than anything, if you see what I mean. Mm-hmm. And I think one thing, you know, going back to this whole thing of hiding treats and eating them in secret, I think that's exactly what we want to be avoiding in our children. And I hear a lot of it. I do hear, and I'm going to hold my hands up. Okay. When I first had my kids, I was quite, although I've always been heavily interested in nutrition, etc., you know, I wasn't into it as much as I am now. I hadn't read as much into it. I hadn't read as much research. So it's only been over the last like 4 years or so that I've really looked at it with my children. But before that, I've got to admit, I probably would find my kids eating sweets behind my back. I would probably find sweet wrappers. I remember finding, you know, and that doesn't happen these days. I mean, Luca joked earlier about it's because my kids have boundaries. My kids have structure. They do. Yeah. They are not allowed to just eat donuts all day.
Exactly. Okay? And we have to have that.
Yeah. You have to have that. Okay. But they do know that they are going to have those kind of treats every day. Every day, my children do have some form of chocolate or sweets, or they do. And they know it's just the norm, and they know they don't have to finish their plate to get it. They do know they have to wait until the allocated time in the day to eat.
Right.
But they know that they don't have to go away and hide sweets. And eat them behind my back. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I do hear that sometimes with families, like, oh, you know, I found them in the shed eating X, Y, Z. And you've got to think, okay, if that's happening in your house, you need to maybe think about how you are talking about food, how you are modeling your behaviors. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. It's there's so many things that we do as parents, I think, that carry over into that arena, and food is one of them. When we start restricting or talking so negatively about certain kinds of foods, then our kids may tend to gravitate toward those things, and then they'll start hiding them because they still want to enjoy them, but they know that they're naughty, so they think they have to hide them or sneak them in order to enjoy them. And the same is true for so many other areas of parenting. I think, you know, one of the things that as a parent that I made a conscious effort to do was to be very open and honest with my kids about, obviously age appropriate, but about things that I struggled with when I was their age. When they would come to me with a problem, I didn't shake my finger at them and tell them, you know, no, you shouldn't do that. No, you know, that was awful of you. I would listen to them, hear what they had to say, and then help them feel comfortable being open and honest about that. And I think the same kind of thing is true for food. They need to be comfortable in eating and enjoying these things. And if there is an area that needs to be addressed for whatever reason, maybe they're overeating in a particular area, well, then we can address that and kind of find out what the issue is the underlying issue is there, and then address that. But the whole idea of restricting and using using negative language to in an effort to keep them or to help, you know, to cause them to to not eat too much, you know, quote, junk food, we make it sound bad. Well, that's not really the right approach. And so I think
because effectively we are trying to micromanage our children's diets. We are trying to, and we can't. You know, we cannot, if we try to control and micromanage our children's diets, then, I mean, we do need to manage them to a certain extent. We do need to give them the boundaries and the structure, et cetera. We need to, but we don't need to micromanage it to the point where we're making them, you know, eat a certain amount of certain foods at a certain time. You know, that's not our responsibility, because all we're doing is taking away their innate trust and responsibility in their own bodies. You know, in an attempt to control. But I tell you something, it's not easy. As a mother as well, as a mother, you know, even myself, knowing what I know, I often have to challenge my own beliefs. I did it recently. We went out at home. They know they don't, generally, they don't have to finish everything on their plate, you know, before they have desserts. And sometimes they will even have, like I said to you before, sometimes they'll even have dessert before or during their meal. My kids are getting a bit older, so especially Luca, he does tend to have his meal and then his dessert. Leo, a little bit different. But anyway, to cut a long story short, we were out for dinner the other day, and Luca ordered something that he wasn't too keen on, and he barely touched it. And obviously, when I'm at home, that's annoying, but it's, you know, it's like, but when we're out and you're paying for it, and you're paying quite a lot of money for it,
yes,
there's this whole thing inside of, you're going to eat some of that. I'm not paying more for a pudding. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, even I had to sit there with that, and I, you know, and it was rising. I was like, Luca, please just eat that. Please just eat, you know, and then I'm like, the more I do that, the more I'm going to push him away from it. And it just becomes a battle, you know? And if you're battling with your children, if you're struggling with your children, then you need to think about this division of responsibility that we spoke about, you know, a couple of episodes ago. Because, you know, it does take away that battle and that struggle.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we talk about health being multifaceted, and I think that it's important to see how the way that we approach nutrition can carry over into other areas of life as well. I had somebody recently ask me about this, their child was hiding food and sneaking food and lying about it. And so their concern was partly the hiding and sneaking food, but they were actually more concerned about the moral aspect of the child lying to them all the time. And it was starting to carry over into other areas where they were beginning to lie about other things too. And so we can see how when we pressure kids in an area of nutrition, which seems unrelated to, you know, their moral upbringing on the surface, maybe, but the way that we approach nutrition and the habits that we develop in the way that our child approaches that, it can carry over into those other areas. So now you have this child who is lying about things, and you're trying to figure out, why is my kid lying to me all the time? And it comes back to pressure around their food and the way that they're eating and how you're approaching junk food and healthy food and that kind of thing. And now you've developed this lying habit in your child as a result of the way that you've approached their food. And so I think it's just so important to see how all of these different areas of parenting and how we approach things carry over into so many other areas of our life. So it's not just about making sure that they grow up with a, you know, healthy, nutritious habits, but in that as we're parenting them, the way that we're approaching their food and their nutrition, understanding that that can trickle into other areas of their life too, that could be even more detrimental down the road. You know, you raise a child who's developed these habits of hiding and sneaking things. And when there's something that is, viewed as shameful or and they're feeling pressure in all these different areas, and it can just develop negative and bad habits in so many areas.
Absolutely, because this is the one thing, you know, as you know, I spoke to you earlier about how I've been doing some recording this morning for a business that I'm doing some work with, and I was talking about how nutrition never happens in a vacuum. Nutrition never happens in isolation. You know, food and eating, you know, it's multifaceted. Like you said, there's all the other things to consider alongside that, the social, mm-hmm. the emotional, the psychological, etc. And you need to take all of that into account. And I think it works both ways as well, Jeff, in that the habits that develop, you know, the nutritional habits can overlap and seep mm-hmm. into other areas. But likewise, you know, other things that are happening in life, you know, can also impact on the way that we see and approach nutrition. If children yeah. don't feel safe and secure and have self-esteem, you know, have a high self-esteem, they can end up then, of course, lacking in self-care, not wanting to take after themselves very well. And then obviously then nutrition falls right. by the wayside. And then, of course, there is the whole, you know, if children are struggling emotionally and there are issues around food, they're going to go to food. Then rather than developing the emotional intelligence and the emotional awareness that they need to understand why they're driven to food, or to understand what, because we all, even as children, we want to comfort eat because we want, you know, we're driven to eat emotionally or to comfort eat because our bodies need something. And sometimes right. food does fill that gap, and that's mm-hmm. absolutely fine. But other times our bodies need something else. And if we're not helping our children to understand that, then they will go to food for comfort more often than they need to. And then it becomes a right. habit. And this is something I'm unpicking, you know, with clients now that are in their 50s, they're in their 60s, and they are struggling with this because it's something that they developed early on in life because they couldn't, you know, they didn't have the skills to understand how to deal with what was happening. And so they'd go for food. Does that make right. sense?
I'll yeah, absolutely.
In the best way that I could.
No, yeah, no, that was a great explanation. There's so many things that, that it comes down to how we communicate those ideas and as we're parenting our kids. And there's just so many, yeah. It's just so important that we help them to develop the appropriate mindset, the appropriate emotional intelligence, as you described there, and an understanding of themselves, their bodies, who they are, all of that. And it kind of reminded me a little bit of a study that I was reading recently by Daly and colleagues from 2020. And it was a study where they looked at the perceived overweight. So it was in teenagers and how it was related to suicidality. So thoughts of suicide, actual attempts at suicide, and how it was related to their perceptions of their body weight. So if they perceived themselves to be overweight, then they were more likely to have these thoughts of suicide, attempts at suicide. So this whole category that they referred to as suicidality. And what was really interesting in it was that they found that even in those kids who had normal BMI, but they perceived themselves as being overweight, yes. they had an increased risk of the suicidality that was the same as those who actually were overweight. And so it was really fascinating how important it is that the language that we use, the understanding of who we are, the understanding the truth of who we are, how much that can impact all these other areas of our life, and even to something as extreme as suicide risk.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you know what, Jeff, you've just opened us up to another topic, in all honesty.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's really important that we do talk about this as well. And it's about, ultimately, like you've just said then, it comes so much down to body image and down mm-hmm. to the pressure from society and even the, you know, the cultural, the pressures, etc. And I think, you know, I definitely think supporting our children's emotional well-being, you know, has such an impact on their nutrition and their overall mm-hmm. health, etc. And I do think definitely, like you even said earlier about how you were really open with your children, you were honest with your children. And I think that's always something I've tried to do with my children, is to encourage that open and honest atmosphere. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, supporting that will only help them as well to develop a healthy relationship with their own bodies and food.
Right.
Well, I think there's a couple of topics there. I think we could definitely mm-hmm. go down, you know, we need to talk about that on another episode. And I really yeah. think we should talk about how we can promote a positive body image as well.
Right.
that's another thing, you know, as, you know, a young mum, you know, in my 30s, you know, I feel pressure. I feel pressure all of the time from society to look a certain way, to be a certain way, especially, you know, trying to build a business and trying to get yourself out there. So I need to be really, really careful about, you know, the things that I say and the messages that I bring into my house. Mm-hmm. So I do think that's another really good, important, you know, and okay, I have boys, but it has still has the same impact on boys as it does girls. Yeah. You know, eating disorders in you know, teenagers and teenage boys is on the rise.
Right.
You know, and I just think we need to be so careful about kind of the messages and the way that we're talking about ourselves.
Right.
You know, around children, but I think that's probably a topic for another podcast.
Yeah, well, and part of why I brought it up was I think that it sort of emphasizes the importance of what we're talking about here as far as the language that we use around food. So, you know, it's not just a matter of, okay, well, if I don't approach the way I talk about food in the right way, my kids may develop a bad habit of sneaking food. Okay, that's one thing. But it all builds on it. All of these things build on one another. And so it's not just a matter of a little bad habit developing. It can lead to all of these other kinds of issues down the road. And it may or may not in a person, but it's good that as parents that we really understand that all of these decisions that we make along the way, these frameworks that we implement, the how we approach food in general, it has consequences. Every decision we make, every approach that we take is going to have some kind of a consequence, whether that's a positive or a negative. And so it's good that we're talking about these things and thinking about these things and intentional about them. And I think, you know, you mentioned earlier about being out at a restaurant and you had to kind of intentionally stop yourself from putting pressure on him to finish that food. And that's okay. It doesn't have to be just this natural thing where we never even give it a second thought. It's good to be very intentional about what we're doing and be willing to pause for a second before we react and say, okay, is that really the right thing in this case? Okay, well, you know, maybe we're at somebody's house for dinner and that might be the time to say, okay, you know what, you're going to eat some of this food because that's going to be out of being polite. So keep in mind, I want you to eat 5 bites of each one of the things that you put on your plate. Okay. And so just keep that in mind and here's why, but normally, you know, don't put that pressure. Yeah, so I think there are some cases where we do that, but we need to be intentional about it. Why are we doing it? And so,
And I think this podcast and, you know, the way we talk, it's not about telling people how to bring up their children. I think it's just offering advice and tips mm-hmm. and people can take what they want from it. And again, you know, it's a dynamic process and we're always mm-hmm. learning along the way. And it's a little bit like when I talk about, you know, body acceptance and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You never 100% get there. Some days you'll feel good. Some days you'll feel bad. Some days you'll see an image and it makes you feel good. Some days you'll see an image and it'll make you feel bad. It's about developing that resilience, I think. Mm-hmm. And as parents, that's all we can do as well, is the more that we can just be conscious and mindful of the things we're doing, because very often we can just automatically go, you need to finish everything on your plate without even mm-hmm. thinking why we're doing it.
Exactly.
Or you need to not eat those sweets without even thinking why we're doing it, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's a learning, you know, I'm really conscious as well about not using food as a reward with my children. But again, sometimes they'll be, if you don't behave, you're not having X, Y, Z. And I try really, really hard to, like, you know, give the rewards are around time or, you know, self-care thing rather than food. But again, it happens. We're learning. But if our children see for the most part, or we model the right approach mm-hmm. for the most part, I think that's all we can strive for, isn't it? I think
and I think that's a good point to bring up too, is that these are all things that we can strive for, and that we're never going to be perfect. You know, there's going to be times where we react in a way that wasn't ideal, but if the bulk of the time that we are interacting with our kids, if we're doing it when it comes to food, for example, in a positive way, then I think that that's going to that's really what we should be striving for. I mean, none of us are going to be perfect. I certainly am not even remotely close to it. And many of the things that we talk about on the podcast and I talk about on social media and things are things I wish I would have done as a parent. Yeah. Now that my kids are in their 20s, I'm thinking, man, I wish I could go back and do it this way now.
You say that, but I'm still doing that now along the way. Yeah. There are still days I look back and I think, oh, why did I say that? Why did I do that? And, you know, was it so, you know, it is what it is. And also as well, science, research, it's always moving on, you know, and the evidence bases are growing all the time. And so we're always, but again, like, you know, nothing's black or white. And I think all we can do is, like we've said, is be as consistent as we can be without trying to be perfect, because nobody's perfect. And if you try and reach for perfection, you're just going to stress yourself out.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a great way to wrap up this episode too, is to just leave it on that note that approach that food from a positive standpoint. But also, like we said, you know, when we do make those mistakes, we shouldn't beat ourselves up over it, just like we shouldn't beat ourselves up over the food choices that we make or anything like that. Just say, you know what? Next time I get that opportunity, I'm going to approach it from a different perspective, and I'm going to approach it this way. I'm going to try things a little bit different, and understand that too, implementing these things, if you're doing things different now and you're thinking, man, that sounds great, I think I like what I'm hearing in that approach. Just understand it's not going to happen overnight with you or your kids. Yeah. And so that's important too.
I'm still learning. I'm still developing, and you know, and one thing I do just want to say before I do have to go, because I've got to get Leo from school. One thing I do want to say is, if you are really struggling with it, you know, then maybe, because I mean, I don't know, you know, often parents struggle because they haven't got a healthy relationship, and maybe they do need to look at that themselves. You know, I'm working with parents, mainly mothers, to be honest. I don't work with as many men, but who are working on themselves, because unless they do work on themselves, they know that it's not going to happen naturally,
right?
And children will pick up on that. You know, if children see you giving one message but doing something else, you know, they pick up on that. So I do just want to point out that if you really are struggling with all of this, and maybe you need to be thinking about your own relationship and maybe healing that.
Yeah, and that's a good way to finish things off. If anybody is listening to this and is trying to figure out, well, yeah, I could use some help, reach out to Rebecca or myself, and we'd be happy to talk with you about how one of us might be able to help you in that area. And it just like when they tell you on the airplane, if you have small children and the oxygen masks come down, put yours on first before you put it on your child, because it's not going to do any good to put it on, you know, to try and put it on the kid before you get it on yourself. Because
when I had to do that, Jeff, that was what I had to go through, my own journey to be able to, you know, but again, it's not by no means perfect. I don't want to say I'm perfect because I'm not. You know, and some days are just a disaster in this house, and other days are great. So, but yeah, you do exactly. Put your own oxygen mask on first.
All right. Well, this was a great discussion. Really enjoyed it. And so I hope you have a great day. And thank you all for listening.
Yeah. Thank you.